Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. Next week we'll have the Christmas story and all, but Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. And if you have a Scofield, it should be on page 91. But let me read that first verse there, and just have seven verses we'll be looking at today, but beginning at verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after the journey according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched at Rephidim. At there was not water for the people to drink. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray that you'll be with us as we look into thy word. Speak to our heart, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, water from a rock. In verses 1 through 4, the complaining people. In verses 5 through 7, the provisions of God. You know, God has already showed his ability to give water to these folks. Of course, we know the bitter water at Marah. And then also he led them to the wells of Elim to give them water. He has proven that he's able to take care of them and to feed them. He's given them manna, as well as also he's given them meat to eat, quails. And of course, in chapter 16, and he still continues to provide at this time. His continual presence are really proven by the fire by night and by the cloud by day. And you know, that really goes right along with our scripture. We talked about the scripture in 1 Peter today, 2 Peter, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee, forsake thee. You know, that's where the word of God comes in. Get to the word of God. As you see the message recorded here for the nation of Israel, let us not forget 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our example to intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted after. You know, the trouble was they failed to trust God and his provision. And you know, let me say how true it is of us at times, isn't it? You know, I've said this many times. I know so many times you go through trials, you go through difficulty and things in your life, and you forget, and it happens again, and you kind of fret, and knowing that God has taken us through it before. But you know, as you look at this first verse, the crisis. Once again, we see God giving them a test to prove them. And as we've said so often, it's not a test to prove to him. It's really a test to show us what's in us. Now, according to Numbers 33, 11 through 14, we see that they also, before this, now it's not given to us in Exodus, but in Numbers chapter 33, they went to a city by the name of Dophkin, and encamped there, and then also Elish. And you know, there's something as you think of that. If you read through Numbers 33, you can read their whole journey and the places they went, just like a map. And of course, you can follow that. But as we think of this, God had already proven to them that he could take care of them, and he was going to take them to the promised land. And of course, as we mentioned last week, the food and all will be supplied all the way until they get there. As we have said before, the testing of God is not for God wants to know about it. He already knows, but to let us know what's really in us. We as humans can understand the people as the water supply runs out. You got to remember there's probably 2 million people there and their animals and their families, and they are concerned. But of course, how we do that same thing as they do right here when trouble comes. We must remember the last past dealings of the Lord as he met the needs, knowing that he's capable of taking care of our needs, and he'll do that all according to his will. Now notice verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Now give us water. Now once again, they're looking at really someone to blame, and they're blaming Moses. But of course, Moses is just the man. Moses is really the one who's really following the Lord. He knows and trusts the Lord, and he's leading them as God is leading them, and they're blaming him. You know, I've often thought that when I think back, and I've mentioned this before I came a pastor, I really had my ideas about preachers and all, but I've often thought about I need to go and apologize to them, because on the other side, I found out there's a lot that you don't see on this side. And of course, everybody, just like Moses here, they're looking to the pastor when something goes wrong. And of course, hopefully the pastor is just trying to lead us according to the way of God's word. Now, as we look at this, see three complaints of the people in this first few verses. Here he gives us what? Give us water. In verse 3, what did you bring us out of Egypt? And then in verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? You know, when I think of this, it humbles me because I find myself so much in this place. And of course, when we think of this, that's where you got to go to Scripture. Once again, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And of course, he won't. And God delivers us and meets our need according to his will. And how that we need to realize that he can do that. And Hebrews, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Now, the trying times should strengthen our faith and our trust in God. They are telling God that he must give them what they want, or no telling what they will do. How we do the same thing. We insist on having our way, and when we don't get it, we complain. And of course, churches and homes and dealing at work and all of that too. But when the church knows that the Lord is leading us to maybe build a building or something to that extent, a lot of people will vote for it, but then when it comes time to support it, sometimes they don't. Now, that's not the case at this little church, because I'll tell you one thing, for no more people than we have, this church is really supported, and the missionaries that we have for no more than we are. Warren Wiersbe brings out to us, and he's got a lot of good things, and I often mention him, that every difficulty God permits us to encounter will become either a test that can make us better or a temptation that can make us worse. And you know what it is? Our attitude is all to how we meet that is where the problem is. If in unbelief we start complaining and we start to complain and blame God, temptation will trap us and rob us of the opportunity for growing spiritually. You know, it's why we always say when things start to happen in your life, we'll begin to look, Lord, are you trying to teach me something? Let me know. Let me see what you're trying to teach me. But if we trust God and let him have his way, the trial will work out for us, not against us, but for us. And how we do, as they jump to conclusions, as these folks did, fear takes over and they begin to complain. Remember that fear, faith syndrome? You know, when fear is in control, faith's gone. But when faith is in control, fear is gone. Theodore Epp, another fellow from years ago, I remember his program, my mom and grandmother, when she was staying with us, that they would often listen to him, and I'd hear him on the radio as they'd listen to him. And he'd usually have a little phrase that he would use to kind of go with the message he'd brought that day. And he had a little phrase to go with that fear and faith. He says, when fear knocks at the door, send faith, and no one will be there. You know, that's really a kind of a way to think of it, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he's there with us at all times. Now look at verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? What did you bring us to out of Egypt? They are once again blaming Moses, when really it's God that's leading Moses. Moses is really the one who really is trusting the Lord and what God has told him. He's shared it with them, and they've surely seen what's happened, but how they've forgotten so quickly. The nation is denying God's protection, and they assume the worst, and fear takes over. and not trust in his provision and protection. He has just delivered them from one of the greatest armies at that time, and of course that was Egypt. He had delivered them, and I would might say not a shot was fired, but not a sword or spear was thrown. God took them through it and put the Red Sea between them and the enemy, and then used the Red Sea to destroy the enemy. We do the same thing when God is allowing testing and trials in our life at times, especially when suffering is involved, and we too deny God's protection. And they think back to Egypt. Oh, they remember the water and the food that they had in Egypt, but they forget they were in slavery, and they were probably being beaten at times. We know they were. And probably many of them were killed, probably by the Egyptians. And of course, they didn't even have freedom. Remember how Moses was asking for freedom, that they could go out for 3 days and worship the Lord? And the third complaint, verse 7, is the Lord among us. You know, there's often that we do the same thing. Are you there, Lord? You know, we all feel that at times as we go through deep trouble. But you know, once again, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And that's a promise that God gives us. Sometimes it seems hard, but you know, he's there with us, even though sometimes maybe we don't feel it. But of course, maybe we need to get in the Word of God and go to the promises that he has. This is probably a good place to have a prayer journal. You know, I never had started that, but it's probably a wonderful thing when people do that. That, you know, when God answers a prayer, write it down. And then as difficulty comes, you can think back and look back and maybe see a date there that when God delivered you from something that was about to drown you and to take you under. Forgetfulness is one of the biggest problems that we have in our life today as believers. Now, these folks had the visual presence of the cloud by day and the fire by night. That was really their Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. How often we do the same thing when we begin to live by feelings and not the promises of the Word of God. Once again, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. His silence may be giving us time to think back how that he's provided before and protected us in the past. But so many times, I guess we just fret, just like they did. Now look at verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Now Moses once again has learned what to do, to go to the Lord for help. That's where we need to do too. Moses had proved his trust in the Lord as he has led the people in the obedience to the cloud by day and the flame by night. But what a message for spiritual leadership. And really not just leadership, but all of us. If you stand on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot go wrong, even if others doubt it. And of course, that's not just true of leaders. It's true of all of us in our Christian life. Also, this is the true to all believers as we follow the Lord. But notice the words, what shall I do, as Moses saying. And you know, it reminds me in Acts 9:6, remember when Paul on that road came to the Lord, and when he got to the end of his ropes, what would you have me do, Lord? And I'm convinced, as John 17, I know some really interpret that a little differently, but I'm thinking of those verses as Jesus gives that verse, that if we are willing to do what God would have his will, that he'll make his will known to us. You know, a lot of times we don't know, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are we willing to go to the Lord and say, whatever it is, I'll do? You know, what it is, I guess most people, we often want a multiple choice. God doesn't have a multiple choice that he's using either. When it comes to trying times, and they will, we'll all come to those. God has delivered us in the past and to remember back of those times. Now notice in verses 5 and 6, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Now, this is really what we must do. Go to the Lord. As I see this command, I'm reminded of Philippians 2:13 once again. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we know the will of God, and God knows it, and then when we're ready to do it and step out, he's there to take over and to help us. And of course, he's told to take the rod, and it speaks of God's power as he takes the rod and he strikes the rock before the people, and God sends forth water. Now he knows that he will, the will of God, and he steps out, and as he does it, God provides. There's a tremendous spiritual message here of the rock. It's a type and a picture of really the death of Jesus on the cross, and the water is a type of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the same, this, he spake of the Holy of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And of course, at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came. You know, when you think of this too, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock speaks of Christ. And let me read 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 through 6, really. Moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, we read this before, but and were all baptized, identified under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to us, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they did. And, of course, to learn from what God is trying to teach us. You know, when you do this, and when it, I realize some folks may go to seed sometimes on, you know, the types that we have in the Old Testament. But really here, as you put this together, that really the rock here, as he's giving an illustration, that rock is a picture of really Christ. And it's really looking forward to the Holy Spirit of God will come after Jesus pays the sin debt. You know, also, if you remember this, and we'll come across this later too, that there's a message in Numbers chapter 20. We'll come to a similar instance. Now, I was going to read all of this, but I'm not going to read all that the verses here that brings it about. But in chapter 20, we'll see that Moses will be given the same thing. But in chapter 20, verses 8 through 12, when Moses is told to speak to the rock, and of course we know that he got very irritated at the people, he got mad, and he forgot what God said, and God told him to speak to the rock and not strike it. And in chapter 20, verse 12, God still gave them water, but in verse 12 of chapter 20 of Numbers, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I had given them. Now, the reason they didn't believe in the Lord, believe the Lord. That rock is really a spiritual type in the Old Testament that we see in Christ. And of course, we know in Hebrews 9 and 10, it speaks about Christ, that he once and for all will be offered up to pay the sin debt. You know, in the Old Testament, the priest would offer offerings over and over and over the years, and it had to be repeated. But in chapter 9 and chapter 10, as you read through that, it makes it clear Jesus paid the debt once and for all. And when you think of that, the reason they didn't go in, it was a picture of Christ. And when Moses went in there and struck that rock the second time, he was showing that Christ, the rock's going to be struck twice. And that was the reason that he was not allowed to go in to the promised land with him as well as Aaron. And we'll see that when we get to chapter 20. But it's very important to remember God's word and do it as it is. Here, Horeb can be can mean Mount Sinai too, where they would camp later in chapter 19, verse 1. But surely it means that region that they were in. Now notice verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massah and Merib, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, say, is the Lord among us or not? Now Moses called it just for what it is. Massah means to test. Merib means to contention and quarrelsome. They had not learned that the Lord tests his people. And of course, we'll all attribute to that. We're children of God, but God is trying to grow us up. He's trying to use us to make us and to mold us what he would have us to be. And of course, a lot of those things are there in our life to strengthen us, to mature us, and to really believe that he'll never leave us or forsake us. I'm afraid that many of us in church age have not learned that God's way and testing, and instead of learning it for our good to strengthen our faith and mature us, we do the same thing and begin to murmur. God needs, may lead us. God will never lead us. Warren Worsby, it's a statement he makes. He makes a lot of good statements, though. God will never lead us where his grace cannot sustain us. That's a good thing to know which way he's leading you. Warren Worsby also said, it is one thing to sit comfortably in a church and sing all the way the Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides? And quite something else when distress and troubles and disappointment confront us. And of course, we meekly say, not my will but thine be done. But you know, it's a different story when we're going through it. But you know, God is wanting us to trust him. I know it is one thing as we study the scripture and we see where Israel went wrong. But you know what? I think God's trying to get us to look at ourselves in the mirror and see how we go wrong. And I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty all the time of that. Quite another thing, when we find ourselves in the heat of the trials and the testing begins. But let us always realize the word of God is still true, and our Lord is still on the throne and able to care for us. And you know, verses like Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a will and a purpose. And you know, when the trials come, to look and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Help me to learn from this. Remember, the tests that God allows in our life can either be tests that make us better and stronger in our faith, or temptation to make us really worse. And it all depends upon our attitude, and I might say too, knowing the word of God and knowing that he's doing it for a reason. Remember that faith and fear symbol. When faith's in control, fear disappears. But when fear's in control, faith disappeared. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, for God hath not given us to the spirit of fear, but power and of love and a sound mind. You know, you think of this. This is something so common to all of us because we all have trials. And of course, as we get older, the health starts pulling at us and everything else and the problems we have and how we need to lean on the Lord and to realize that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's there with us. But how we do the same thing and we ask why. Believers, how is our trust in God? In the valley or on the mountaintop? Do we trust the Lord for his provisions? or do we murmur? And I'm speaking to myself here, as well as all of us, but it happens to all of us. I don't think it's wrong to ask the Lord in the right spirit as you go through trying times, what would you have me to learn as you go through those? But I'm afraid as we do, we forget, as well as they in the past, how the Lord had provided by faith to trust him, how I have failed in my life. When God allows trials and testings, they are for a reason, and to build our faith and to mature us. And remember, it's the attitude we take it with. When we are not walking by faith and trusting the Lord in all situations, we will be as they were and not trusting the Lord and thinking he's doing it to harm me. But you know, as we thought of this in verse 7, they thought the Lord was not among them. But you know, they had the cloud and they had the fire by night. That was really a picture of Christ, really, and he's speaking, they speak of that as being Christ, as he was there with them, as showing them that it is. You know, what we have to do is to pick up the Word of God and realize that promise in Hebrews 13:5 is in several other texts, that God says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. He'll go through those times. He'll go through those times with us. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. It's time to receive him as your Savior. Or maybe as a Christian, we're going through deep water, to roll it over and to give it to him. And I say this, just kind of picture a mirror up here, and I'm looking in the mirror because I'm speaking to me. And I'm sure it speaks to all of us at times as we go through the trials and difficulty of life. But you know, we always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, the first thing that we have to realize, we're sinners. We're a sinner and we can't work our way to heaven. Friend, it's only by grace. It's only what Christ did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you come to that place, you're ready to be saved, knowing, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm just an old sinner. And to realize, as John tells us there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, if you come to that place, I'm a sinner, but I know Jesus died on that cross. When he died for me. He paid the debt through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I realize that fact, Lord, nothing I can do. I trust exactly what you did on the cross. Not what I can do or what I can add to it, but just what you did. I trust you as my Savior. Now, once you trust him as your Savior, God wants us to go on and grow and go in our grace and be used of him. But, you know, the way of salvation, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But, you know, as Christians, as we go through those times, and we all do, don't forget, he'll never leave us or forsake us, and how we need that. Let's bow our head just for a minute. Maybe someone here, if you're here, and if I can pray with you and help you, I'll try to do my best. But, you know, this really speaks to every one of us in our life. And, you know, as we read those verses there in Corinthians, how we are just like they are when the problems come. But he's there. He's there. He's able to help us.